CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So, what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
Good morning, millennials. Welcome back to the Morning Toast. Happy hump day.
What a beautiful hump day. We've got doo-doo-doo in the studio.
Doo-doo-doo to Theodora.
Hey.
Doo-doo-doo to Theodora.
Oh.
Doo-doo-doo to Theodora.
Hey.
Crunchy angel Dora.
Precious lovey Dora.
You know, I love our Dora song. I do. But do you know what it reminds me of? Like that I have like a negative association with like where we made it up.
Oh, we used to sing it when we were leaving the old studio.
Yeah, and like I hate that place since they evicted us. So like I just have like a slight negative association with it.
Oh, that's so funny because for me, obviously that's where the song was born, but it's just taken on a life of its own. I forgot that that's how every day when we would leave the studio, we would get him like put his
ready,
leash on.
Right.
And we'd just be like,
to Theodora, to Theodora, to Theodora.
Perfect boy, Dora.
Love of my life. Dora. And on the whole elevator ride down, we were on like the 30th floor, literally the whole time. Crunchy angel Dora.
Cutest fur Dora.
Smelly boy Dora. Oh, we owe Theo an apology.
You guys, we owe Theo an apology. Patrons will know why. We recorded a Patreon episode yesterday all about Claudia's book. We took all of your questions that were left over from the Redheads episode or didn't make it for various reasons. And we did a great episode. But towards the end of the episode, it started to smell up in here.
Literally smell. And for me as a dog mom, I knew immediately what that smell was. I talk about this all the time on the toast, probably more than I should. But, you know, dogs need to express their anal glands. I don't know what it really is, but like this juice comes out of their butt and it is so sickeningly, disgustingly smelling. It smells like fish. Like, it's so gross. And if you've ever experienced, like, your dog expressing his anal glands, like, you know the smell.
Yeah.
So I literally, the episode was winding down. I'm like, Jackie, do you smell that? And I knew what it was, and I was like, we gotta wrap this episode up. And like, we basically talked about it for 5 minutes, shaming Theo's anal glands, which wasn't cool of us.
It wasn't cool of us. And what turns out to be even less cool of us is then we packed up our things, we left the studio. When we left the studio, it smelled so much worse.
In the
hallway. Smell was coming from next door. I think they had ordered like fish for lunch. And
no, that was not food.
No. I think it was. Where else? What else?
It sounded like a septic explosion.
No. Because
it was not a culinary smell.
It was like 12:30. The door was open.
Oh my God.
I think that they ordered like
a fish fiesta. No, by the way, in no way was. You can't. To think that I misconstrued a smell of fish with the smell of anal glands, like.
You just said they smell like fish.
I'm sorry, food. It's not food. Oh, man, that's sick. I didn't think that. I thought that there was a pipe burst.
They had a fish fiesta.
No, I totally disagree.
And so clearly it was not Theo responsible
right.
for the
well,
smell.
That's the moral of the story.
And we embarrassed him then. We're embarrassing him again now.
We're really sorry.
And we're really sorry, Theo, because it wasn't you. We literally ran out of here.
We ran, and it wasn't even us. We should have stayed in here.
100%. So just wanted to clear that up because it was probably hurtful for Theo.
Super hurtful. But we have a great...
In the meantime, head over to Patreon and listen to the episode because it's really fabulous. We cover the gamut on things from the book, you know, taking the conversation offline, some of the fanfare surrounding the book. And it's just a great...
So much fanfare.
It's just a great episode of toastiness between Claude and I.
And then also my book is available at girlwithnojob.com/book. I feel like I really don't need to tell you guys that because... Like, just the numbers keep coming in, the audiobook numbers I finally got. And it's like, we have so many listeners. Sometimes you feel like we're literally talking into a void.
Yeah.
But they showed up and showed out for the book launch. And I'm gonna stop insulting them with the promotion. Like, they already have it.
For sure. Were they sickening Audible down?
They were sickening the audio department down.
Wow. We love to see it because we love audio here at the Morning Toast.
Even though sometimes ours is a little janky.
Yeah, and even though we can't stop singing.
Yeah. Oh, you know what? I did a Q&A like I always do, and there's always someone who's like, please stop singing.
I know.
And I responded to it like, no. And the amount of outpouring of love and support for the singing like was enough to reinstill my faith mm-hmm. in our singing. Now, of course, some episodes do we outdo it? Yes. I wasn't sure what the girl was referring to because I have this annoying habit of like singing when I talk. And is like that what she's talking about? Or us singing like, you know, you're so golden. Like, is that what she's...
Yeah, she's definitely talking about that specific one because we were so off pitch.
Yeah, that wasn't good.
You want to try that again?
Three, two, one.
Oh my God.
What?
I started singing You're okay. So Golden. You're... And also your pitch is like weird for the dudes. Oh. Sorry.
Don't fucking come for my pitch.
Three, two, one.
You're so golden. You're wrong. No, dude. Who's right?
Together we're just bad.
We're both wrong. Do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. You're so golden. It's like the Gaston saga all over again. Gaston on three. Ready? Three, two, one. Gaston!
Now that's
that was sickening. Sickening the harmony down.
100%.
Oh my God.
So maybe in a few years from now we'll get
getting
golden,
overheated
right?
already. Like I the know. Show just started. Usually
I'm
by
wearing
the end of the show.
A chunky sweater today because I feel like I've been wearing sweats.
You?
I feel like, no, I'm like trying to wear an outfit today. Like I'm wearing tights. I feel like I've been wearing sweats in some way, shape or form. Like
you know
for
what's
the
so
past
funny?
Few days.
You have?
I still like was talking about my
No, I know,
sweats.
But the same thing is like I wore this today because you've been wearing so many sweats and then you show up in a Luke.
In a turtleneck, which has been your Luke.
And tights.
Yeah. And chunky boots, which has really been your Luke. I guess I've been inspired by you and you've been inspired by me. We love to see it.
Inspiration is just reeking over
and
here.
And you're just like being inspired by wearing hoops every day.
Yeah, well, you know, I got so much like positive feedback from my hoops. And I used to wear hoops all the time. And then sometimes on the show, I felt like it was so much. But now I'm feeling like I have a lot of, you know, faith in my hoops. And for those wondering, these are the ombre from the new Allison
Ooh,
collection.
Ooh, ombre. Haven't seen those. Those are sickening. The
I
hoops
know.
Down.
And you know, our friend Margot works for Allison. So I like, we get some free stuff. But I actually purchased these because like I wanted them so bad. I didn't want to wait till like, you know, they weren't cool anymore till I could finally get a free pair.
Yeah, for sure.
No, I love them. No, so yeah, I'm just like being hoopy cool. vibes.
Very hoopy vibes. And I think that being in this stage of quarantine or whatever the fuck we're in, like it's so important to like have little things that just spice up your everyday routine. Like when I was wearing that Prada necklace, like I just felt like a whole new bitch.
Yeah.
And I can imagine that's how you feel adding hoops to your sweats.
No, and hoops and sweats is a vibe.
For sure.
For
but
sure.
especially like a February 2021, ugh. 6 degrees outside vibe.
No, I know. And like it's 6 degrees outside. I'm sweating like a beast today.
I know.
It is warm in here.
It is warm in here. Okay. Maybe it's just Theo being
so,
so
sexy. He really actually, now that I'm feeling him, it's like, can you move over? Yeah. we have a great show for you guys today. It's hump day. Dear Toasters,
oh
our
God,
advice
toasters.
Segment.
We actually have so much to cover today because you watched Britney Spears
I watched the Britney Spears doc. Last night, The Real Housewives of Dallas was on.
Mm-hmm. Shouldn't take too long.
Should not take long at all because it was literally one dinner party the whole episode. Mm-hmm. And there's just fabulousness happening in the world that I feel as though we need to cover.
Yeah, we do need to cover. So I guess without further ado, it's time for the Fast Five stories that you need to know before you wake up and take a bite out of your morning toast.
And, you know, very sadly, today's sponsor reminded me that tax season is upon us, you guys. And it's never been more important to file your taxes. No two people are alike, and no two tax returns are alike either. Thankfully, TurboTax Live has experienced tax experts who are ready to listen to you, learn about your unique tax situation, and help you get the best tax outcome. Maybe you got married this year and have some questions about how that affects your filing status. Maybe you want an expert to walk you through the process step by step so you can make sure you didn't miss any deductions on the new house you just bought. Or maybe you want to hand the whole thing off from start to finish so you can focus on your burgeoning baby photographer career. Whether you want to file with the help of an expert or let an expert file for you, TurboTax Live experts give you the confidence to know that your uniquely you taxes are done right. Intuit TurboTax Live. Thank you, TurboTax, for sponsoring today's episode.
Thank you. Sign on, fire taxes.
Seriously, don't forget.
First story, you guys, major controversy. Kim Kardashian hits back at people.
Major.
Major. Kim Kardashian is hitting back at people who are questioning her daughter North's painting abilities. She says, how dare you?
She did not come to play.
She did not come to play. It's funny, like, what sets her off. But this is clearly one of those things.
Doubting, like, it's...
Doubters, non-believers, once were her dreamers.
No, anyone who doubts North's abilities, like, that is obviously a trigger point for Kim Kardashian West. We know that now.
We do. And she is one proud mom. She's not afraid to stick up for her children. The star recently shared a photo of a landscape painting her daughter North had completed, calling the 7-year-old a little artist in an Instagram story post. However, social media users quickly began questioning whether or not North had actually painted the artwork, which was done in a style similar to the works of Bob Ross. One Twitter user wrote, I'm supposed to go, but I can't stop thinking about how Northwest did not paint this. Then Kim took to her story and wrote a lengthy post saying, don't play with me when it comes to my children. My daughter and her best friend have been taking a serious oil painting class where their talents and creativity are being encouraged and nurtured. North worked incredibly hard on her painting, which took several weeks to complete. As a proud mom, I wanted to share her work with everyone. So she's like coming after specific articles, specific tweets, saying, how dare you come for North? How dare you question her child's abilities and that North is the artistic queen that she said that she was.
And then on TikTok, these two girls from Calabasas who, like, I think when they were kids took that same art class, they had their paintings from when they were kids. And they're like, no, this actually is what like art class is like in Calabasas. So I'm not going to lie. Like when I first saw it, I'm like, LOL, Kim, like North did not paint that. Did I feel like vocalizing it on the internet and being a troll? No, I just thought to myself, like, okay, there's some, I don't know where we lied, but there's a fabrication in this. Like someone helped, like there's a little bit of a lie.
I don't think so. I think
no, but then it came to be, isn't it a paint by the numbers?
When I first saw it, I assumed it was paint by numbers.
So when I figured that, I'm like, oh no, they can make anyone a good painter.
Yeah, and she spent weeks in her oil painting class. Like people are constantly underestimating North.
North, yeah.
And they're constantly embarrassing themselves with that.
Congratulations, you played yourself.
Obviously, like, I had no doubts that North made this because also, like, why would she say that she made it if she didn't make it? Mostly it's just my faith in Kim that made me believe that North
right,
made it.
Right, right. No, and it's like when you have that big of a platform, like, you really just can't lie about random shit.
Right.
And shouldn't.
We don't know Kim to lie, especially about North.
But it also is interesting that in her supportive claims about, in her Instagram stories, she had a picture of some art and referred, and she in the context of the story, she was referring to Kanye, and instead of calling Kanye, she called him North's dad.
She said, throwback to some of her dad's artwork that he did when he was a kid, which some people are taking to mean like she can't even utter his name, they're divorced, which I took to mean like this is a story about North and it's North's dad showing her artistic ability.
I really appreciate like the level of denial you are reaching, but no, for like, me, this is how you refer to the father of your children who you're no longer married to. Mm-mm. Like the children's father.
I saw the story like on her stories before it was a news story and I was like, oh, that's so cute. Like I didn't think anything of it. I think people are just looking too into it.
No, I feel as though I've been on the denial train with you for quite some time, but I did think that was intentional weird wording.
I don't think so. I think it's just all about North. Like, and I think that if Kim like didn't want to mention Kanye, she wouldn't have posted it at all. Like, she's posting his young artwork. So sweet. Okay. I think this whole story is so sweet. I love North's painting. Like, can't wait till it's an Art Vandelay original.
They should collab. You're just so sweet. Like, you just really believe, like, in the good, you know?
I believe in my people.
Yeah, no, for sure. And I was really there with you. But I think at this point, like,
I'm not saying that they're not getting divorced. I'm just saying I have no reason to believe right now that they are because Kim hasn't said anything to me.
Okay.
Anyways, looking...
To you? Are you waiting for a text message?
I'm waiting for the statement from Kim's IG, just like she spoke on North.
Yeah.
You know, there's all these rumors flying. She did not hesitate to correct this one.
No, don't come for her fucking children.
Don't come for her children. Looking forward to the Northwest Art Vandelay collab whenever it drops.
You know, I think often about those pieces that Chloe made during her stint as Art Vandelay.
They're an artistic family.
No, they were really, really good. And once they got them framed side by side, like the red and the black, I was like, I would fully put that in my home. Where are they? They should auction them for charity because I would fucking buy that.
100%. But it also goes to show how a nice frame can make anything look fabulous. No, and that's why you need Framebridge.
To not today's sponsor, but you're right. Like the proper, just like a nice canvas, like some decent paint and a fancy art frame. And you're right. Like it's just, it's enough.
Yeah.
No, those, that's so true.
Those were some really funny episodes.
But where do we think that they live? I think they're probably in Kris Jenner's home.
No, I don't. I think they're in Khloé's garage.
Did you ever watch the home edit episode of Khloé's garage?
No.
They weren't in there. They literally went through all of her stuff. Like, True has 117 of those, like, mini cars that every kid wanted when they were a kid that, like, really drove. Mm-hmm. She has, like, a Bentley, a Range Rover. Like, she's the craziest shit. All of Khloé's paint supplies are in there that she made it into, like, her paint studio. But there were no framed pieces hanging around.
Oh, maybe she has, like, a little, you know, room in her house where they're all hanging. Or maybe they're in the attic.
And then she also had, like, a huge corner for, like, all the merch she gets from herself, like her collabs with like Good American and all these other, and then her sister's collabs that like they sent her.
Oh, that's so nice. That's what I need.
Yeah, I need a merch room. Like the merch that we have, that's why I have to wear it today, just because like there was literally no room for it in my closet.
No, I'm out of room for it. Like I always have like a couple piles of merch. Me too. And now we have new merch dropping on February 17th, and you guys, it is sickening. The warehouse down, the warehouse is still sick.
No, the warehouse, who am I?
The warehouse.
Yes, because they're fucking sick from the most sickening merchandise just sitting on their shelves.
You guys will get some sneak peeks coming soon, but the drop is on Wednesday, February 17th. Gird your loins.
Gird your motherfucking loins.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, sorry.
Anyways, justice for North has been served once again. Stop doubting her.
Yeah, it's, that's the true lesson here. It's like Kim is her mother. Kanye West is her father. She is the firstborn. In Judaism, we call that the Bachor. It's for a boy, but still it counts.
Bachora.
Bachora. We must, as a society, stop doubting Northwest's abilities. Like, homegirl, like, she will be the first, you know, something. You know, she's going to be like an
whatever she
astronaut.
Wants.
Yeah, like, she's going
to
kill it.
Yeah. So, if she wants to be the next Bob Ross, she
so
will be.
So be it.
She will be. Okay, next up is a crazy story that has been, like, circulating on the web, but cops are now denying this wild rumor that Armie Hammer is a suspect in a death investigation.
Like, literally, it's crazy that, like, Instagram pages, like, Dumois and, like, a bunch of these other gossip sites, like, they literally started this rumor.
Mm-hmm. Police have shut down a wild online rumor that Armie Hammer is a suspect in California's Wonder Valley death investigation. After hikers discovered human remains in the California desert on January 31st, social media ran rampant with speculation linking the 34-year-old actor, who's caught up in his own scandal, to the case. The rumors began after Instagram account Dumois shared posts claiming that a shocking story about Hammer would be published immediately and suggested that that is why his agency, WME, dropped him.
Got it.
So if you saw the post on Dumois, and then there was like...
Dumois.
I say it's different every time.
It's French.
I say it different every time. But there was also these tweets going around saying that like Armie Hammer at one point in this year was like working in construction. And
which is just a very bizarre thing for an actor to do.
Right. And then also like at that same time, some bodies were found very close by.
So and
then,
he was working on a movie that was set near this location where the bodies were found. So it was like there wasn't not evidence. Like when I read it, I'm like, this could be true.
And then
like,
also with Dumois saying that a big article was about to come out about Armie that was so damning that his agency preemptively dropped him. It was
right.
Like,
and we're still waiting. Like, according to now a lot of people, like, the LA Times is working on, like, a major piece on Armie Hammer that has something so damning in it. Like, it's worse than anything we've ever seen. So it's like, we've seen something really bad. The logical next thing, like, what's worse than cannibalism? Murder. Like, so it's not a crazy thought.
Yeah.
So when all these things were happening at the same time, we heard about the article, something damning was coming. Someone put together, like, with this dead body, like... It didn't not make sense.
Yeah, no, it wasn't like
crazy.
So crazy. But now the San Bernardino County Sheriff told The Sun that Armie Hammer's name hasn't come up as a suspect at all. We have no plans to investigate him.
He's probably relieved about that.
So I guess that's that on that.
Yeah.
But that was a crazy few days.
Sometimes
the rumors were like so crazy that we actually didn't even talk about them because that's like
but
insane.
No, now the police are getting involved.
It's insane if wrong.
It's speculation and like conspiracy theory at its finest.
100%.
But now that the police spoke on it, we as a legitimate news source here, like we can speak on it.
Right. So, and by speaking on it, we're saying that these two things. And I feel like a lot of people like saw those tweets and were like, question mark, waiting for the story to drop.
Right.
So I guess here we are to tell you that that's not going to be the story, but still pending this mysterious
article.
LA Times story that's so bad that trumps cannibalism.
Right. I'm very much looking forward to reading that piece if it ever sees the light of day.
Yes.
I have a feeling like because we know about it, it probably never existed.
Yeah, like someone somewhere is working to get it stopped.
No, it's like a game of telephone. Like this, the article never existed, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I think it's very logical that his agency would drop him, not because of something's coming, but because of all that's already happened. Like, an agency's job is to make you money. And at some point, I've been dropped by an agency. At some point, due to a scandal, like, you are no longer lucrative for an agency.
Yes, but all of this cannibal stuff came out a few weeks ago.
It did take them a very long time. Yeah, it took my agency, like, 1 hour to drop me, and I didn't hurt anybody, so... Hypocrisy.
He's been America's Next Top Cannibal for a while now.
That's funny.
Thank you.
Oh, man. And you know, I've been thinking a lot, like, I just wonder, like, where, first of all, like, where is he? Like, where is he experiencing the cancellation from? Is it a house? Is it a hotel? Has he seen his kids? What is going through his mind? Does he feel like he's being framed? Like, is he sorry? Like, I'm just
curious.
According
to his statement, he thinks he's being framed.
Right, but that statement was so long ago. Like, I don't know her. Like, I don't know that statement. It was written in all caps, and it was supposed to be, like, written by a publicist. It looked like it was written by a child. It looked like Northwest wrote it.
Well, then it would be amazing if she wrote it. So, stay tuned. Next story, a little happy royal bebe news.
HRBN?
HRBN.
It's time for a little HRBN. Ready? Okay.
Princess Eugenie shares the adorable first photo of her newborn son on Instagram. Princess Eugenie is welcoming her first child in a modern way with an Instagram post. That is true. This is like a first royal bebe with an Instagram photo that reminds me very much of Kylie and Stormy's.
And very much of Olivia and Michaela.
I know. This like hand-holding baby announcement is all the rage right now, and it's so sweet.
No, because it's like the mom is fucking tired. She just like... gave birth, created a child, and people, like, I have seen people, like, getting their hair and makeup done in the hospital, which, you know, good for you. I'm not here to judge anyone, but, like, that will not be me. Like, I probably won't even have a manicure.
I can tell you someone who it will be.
You! There's literally two types of girls in the world. Girls who do the hand-holding thing, and girls who get their hair and makeup done.
Well, no, I'm not going to get my hair and makeup done, but I'm definitely going to be putting some foundation on. You know how red I get? Like, I would be crazy. Yeah.
No, and
a
like...
a foundation and a brow and a lash. I'm not going to have a makeup artist. I don't even have a makeup artist, like, for my wedding.
Right, that's true.
Yeah.
I'm going to bring up an example that I've recently found out that you say I bring up all the time. But what to expect when you're expecting. That scene where like Brooklyn Decker sneezes out two twins.
That there's two types of pregnant
I am Elizabeth
women.
Banks, like all the way. And like you are Brooklyn Decker.
No, no, no.
Yes.
Oh, no.
Oh, no, 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 no.
I mean, it remains to be seen. Also, you could say there's two types of pregnant women, Courtney and Kim.
Yeah, that's so true. And I'm much more of a Kim.
For sure. Same.
For sure.
But we shall see. You never know. Anything can happen when you're expecting.
Yeah. And you never know what to expect when you're expecting.
Okay, the first photo of Princess Eugenie and Jack Brooksbank's baby boy was shared on the Royals' Instagram page on Tuesday. The black and white shot shows their baby's hand wrapped around Eugenie's thumb while Jack holds the baby boy's arm. You know, that is a new touch of both parents' hands in the photo.
Yeah.
You know?
I feel like, you know, the mom did more work. Like, let her have her moment, but okay, whatever.
Yeah, but it's still really cute. She captioned the shot with blue heart emojis and two exclamation points to show her excitement. I really am, like, not over the fact that it's, like, royal announcement news on Instagram. I think that's so cool.
No, it is. It's so 21st century of them. The queen yet again ushering the monarchy into a new era. Mm-hmm. So I found this out because, like, on People Magazine's Instagram, there was a picture of them. And then it was, like, in the caption, it was, like, welcome, princess, you know, whatever. And they happened to have chosen, like, a really unflattering picture of both of them. And the comments were... so mean, mostly because like the picture of both of them had a lot of teeth.
Is it
and they
one?
Were British teeth. Yeah, that's it. I think
they look so cute and like, so happy. People are so mean.
But like, you know, like when you're your internal monologue when you're looking at a picture, like for me, I would never say anything, but I was looking at the picture, I'm like, oh, that's, you know, a lot of teeth. And then the comments were just like so mean.
Damn.
Justice.
Now, just when the royals get on Instagram, they're gonna
Now you're gonna make fun of them, which just is like a British trope, but it's not nice. They're so mean.
I'm not even reading them.
No,
that ain't right.
No, I know, but that's how I found out about the British new baby.
Okay, well, very happy Warm wishes.
Yes.
To this new family.
I feel like whenever we bring up Eugenie, like we always say, like ideal level of royal fame. Like she probably has a small semblance of a normal life.
I think we say the opposite.
Actually, I'm having deja vu. Because, we've literally had this conversation
because
before.
Because she has all of the responsibility and none of the perks.
No, I disagree.
She doesn't have the perks.
Yes, she does.
No, she doesn't.
She has the money.
I don't know.
Isn't that like the only perk? And the fame.
Yeah, no, but, like, she's not, like...
But she doesn't have to go to as many, like, state dinners as everyone else. Like, she probably...
I guess it really just depends what you think are responsibilities right. And what you think are perks.
Perks, yeah. No, that's so right.
Because I think that most people see a state dinner as a responsibility, but to me, sounds fabulous. Perk.
Yeah, but not when you have them, like, every night, and you have to, like, wear these heavy, like, dresses and sashes and crowns and jewels.
It depends on the person, because to me, that sounds amazing. To someone else,
not
it sounds like
not every
work.
Night for your whole life. Couple times a year,
crowns
maybe.
And jewels and sashes.
Oh my.
Okay, are you ready for our next story?
I'm ready. Come and find me. I'm not gonna hang out the sun on my side. It's heavy. Come and find me. Open up the door and I'm ready. Ready. That was like such an obscure song.
Those lyrics make no sense.
We're definitely singing them wrong.
I'm heavy.
Come and find me. No, thank you. Open for the one and I'm ready. Ready.
They just can't be the right lyrics.
No, we're definitely singing them wrong. But we had a dance like made up to that when we were kids.
Oh yeah, did we have a big kick?
Yeah, and it was like red. Oh, fuck. Ow. Shit.
Did you hit the corner?
Oh, no, I'm actually gonna cry. It hurt. Ow. Okay.
Oh no.
I'm okay.
Did you hit the corner of the mic box? Yes. With your tendon in your wrist.
Literally. Oh.
With the little, no.
Call an ambulance. Call an ambulance.
But
for me.
For me.
Okay, I'm okay. I'm wearing that really Ooh. Hurt. I almost
well,
just
I
cried.
Think this next story is going to cheer you up, honestly.
It better be about Alex Trebek.
It is. His Jeopardy wardrobe is being donated to a homeless organization. Some of the wardrobe worn by the beloved Jeopardy host has been donated to the Doe Fund, a nonprofit that provides housing, vocational training, continuing education, and other services for formerly homeless and incarcerated New Yorkers. The Doe Fund
is the best organization.
It's such a fabulous organization.
Did they come? I know when we were in high school, they came and talked to us.
To like the students, yes.
And that's how I first heard about it. And now if you're ever on the street, you'll see people who work for the Doe Fund, Ready, Willing, and Able in the blue suits. You see them everywhere. And I'm so glad they're still around because like I first heard about them in high school like maybe 10 years ago.
Yes.
And that's it's just like, they're an organization that like, they just have their shit together. Like they've been around forever. They've proven success. And I'm sure they are so excited about this donation.
Yes. During his last day on set, Alex extolled the virtues of everyone opening up their hands and their hearts to those who are suffering. Donating his wardrobe to those who are working to rebuild their lives is the perfect way to begin to honor that last request, said Mike Richards, who is the executive producer of Jeopardy. Among the donated items are 14 suits, 58 dress shirts, 300 ties, 25 Wow. polo shirts, 14 sweaters, 9 sports coats, 9 pairs of dress shoes, 15 belts, 2 parkas, and 3 pairs of dress slacks. The Wow. clothes will go to participants in the Doe Fund's re-entry program called Ready, Willing, and Able as attire suitable for job interviews.
Oh my God, that's so sweet. And it's like, we all, yet again, can learn another valuable lesson from Alex Trebek. And it's like, even after he's gone, his legacy is just...
Lives on.
This is so, so nice. And I love... And he's from Canada. I don't even know, like, you know, how he knows about the Doe Fund.
Does he not... Oh, I don't know.
And well, they film in L.A.
Yeah, maybe the executive producer might have made the call.
Yeah.
Yeah, it might be familiar.
It's so great. Like, when I saw this on, like, one of those good news Instagrams, I was... crying. Like, yeah. It's so sweet.
It's an amazing story.
And they have pictures of the recipients with their, like, and, like, not only do you get, like, a fancy suit, like, it was worn by a celebrity. Like,
yeah, historic.
So exciting.
Yeah. We love to see it.
We do.
Just a really great story. And our fifth and final story is some interesting news. Celebs Jerry Seinfeld, Debbie Mazar, and more will be voicing NYC subway PSAs.
Oh, thank God.
So the Stand Clear of the Closing Doors announcement is getting a star-studded makeover.
Oh, I love this.
With a dose of gritty New York attitude. Starting Friday, a collection of New York City's notable natives, including Jerry Seinfeld, Debbie Mazar, and Whoopi Goldberg, will be...
Iconic. Iconic.
Will be voicing the MTA subway and bus announcements as part of a new initiative to breathe life into the pandemic-weary public transport system.
We need it.
Debbie Mazar says, "The subway is part of my DNA. I'm so excited to do this. I want subway riders to feel welcome. I want them to hear a familiar voice, think for a second, and maybe smile."
Wait, you know what? Of course, I like who they have, but they really should have also included like Howard Stern and Andy Cohen.
Okay.
Sorry, just said.
Maybe that will be like the next installment. But I think when you think of famous, iconic New Yorkers, obviously Jerry Seinfeld.
Yeah, I don't think of Debbie Mazar. I did not even know she lived here.
She has such a great and distinct voice.
Yes, and Whoopi Goldberg, it's like if can you imagine like after a long day, like on the way home, so excited to get home, and then you hear like the warm, delicious voice of Whoopi Goldberg. That's a great one.
Yeah, that's a really, really good one. Oh, I think that there are more, but the campaign was spearheaded by director Nicholas Heller, who's behind the Instagram account at New York Nico, where he features like big Apple characters. The MTA reached out to him for ideas for how to spice up the subway.
Well, look at the MTA being forward thinking, like can't get their trains running on time, but reached out to an influencer. There's such a disconnect here, but okay.
Yeah. He approached about 50 prominent New Yorkers from across different industries, and no one like had an issue to participate, even though there's no money involved. Wow. He landed 25 of them, including Fran Lebowitz, probably another great New York voice, rappers Jadakiss and Cameron, comedians Jesus and Mero, radio personalities Angela Yee and Angie Martinez, and sportscaster Michael Kay. So there's a lot of different voices. I think this is going to be a really cool and hopefully ongoing campaign where new voices could always be added.
Well, you know, I would love to hear from Jerry Seinfeld, you know, after he made like a huge, you know, ta-da over the summer, you know.
Yeah.
New York's coming back. I guess this is his way of helping.
I think this is his way of helping. This is, you know, a lot of people's ways of doing something exciting for the city.
Yeah.
So I think that it's a cool, interesting little factoid.
No, I like it a lot, but it's just funny. But I think it's
like a little bit, again, like celebrities thinking that they're going to just like save the world.
Oh, well, yeah, it's a little bit of that, but it's more so like if you live in New York, like you know how we are riddled with problems, and like the voice of the MTA man like wasn't at the top of our list. It's more like, you know, the crime, and there's just like all so many restaurants closing, like the economy. So I feel like maybe, call me crazy, we should tackle some of those first and then worry about who's going to tell us what the next stop is.
Right, exactly.
And I'm going to miss that guy.
And I know he was
clear of the closing doors.
Please.
And like whenever I hear that, it just like triggers me actually back to NYU. Like I just hate it.
I know. So maybe like getting some new voices in there, fresh. We can create new memories.
I'm actually really okay with that.
Yeah. And if they need some like young New York voices to say, good morning, MTA.
Welcome to Times Square, the home of Broadway.
We are available.
We are, yeah. We could do some more like okay.
No, say if you don't get off at your next stop, you'll be remiss. You'll be devastated. You'll be heartbroken.
And even heartbroken. And then it's like, I'll do all the ones for like the theater district. So like next stop, Lincoln Center, home of the opera.
And then we'll be like, hear the sounds of marching feet.
Dun, dun, dun.
On the avenue, I'm taking you to 42nd Street.
Yeah.
If they're not playing that every time they hit 42nd Street, what is you doing?
And then when I don't think there is a 57th Street stop, but if there, no, actually there is.
It's 59th.
Yeah.
But
there's also 57th and 7th. Yeah.
Some lines.
I would be like, I was walking towards 57th Street, towards Park, with my same old song in my same old heart, thinking when I'm gonna do when I get older.
Claudia, that's fucking beautiful.
Yeah, I could come up with a whole slate of songs that like mention.
And then if you're on the 6 and you're heading north, Uptown Girl.
Yes!
She was living in her uptown world.
And if you're on the 6, just like between stops, I was running through the 6 with my woes. You know how that shit go. Just a little something like that.
Yeah.
And then if I was on the 4 train, a little Janet Jackson. Only got 4 minutes to save the world. Hesitating. Ooh. Oh, and then when it's the final stop, you know, when they get all the way north or all the way south and everyone has to get off. I wanna see you out that door, baby. Ba-ba-ba-ba-ba.
That's beautiful. Or if they were on the R train. Are you ready for it?
Doom, oh, that's doom, good. And the doors doom. We'll have a fog machine and the doors will open and close. Doom, 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 doom. Fog machine. Lights, and fog.
Every day on your way to work.
You know, this could literally be like the best project. Like I really could come up with like a pop culture music themed extravaganza.
100%. 100%.
I could go on.
No, I could wax poetic.
Yeah. Oh, and then, you know, like, the Empire State Building. Stop.
In New York.
Concrete jungle, wet dream tomato. There's nothing you can't do. Okay, I really don't want to stop, but I think
no,
we should.
Like I could go on forever.
Oh, and then when the train comes to a stop, you know how sometimes like between stops, like you get stuck in the tunnel because like the lights don't work or something.
Yes.
When it comes to a screeching halt, stop. In the name of love, before you break my heart. Just an idea.
So, once again, we are available. Or if you want to hire real singers, you could do that too. The ideas are free, MTA.
I'm a real singer, so just...
For sure. But I'm going to say the ideas are free.
No.
Really?
You wouldn't... Intellectual property?
No, but I'm giving them to the MTA for those Are You Ready For It closing doors. Like,
that's so funny. I will supply the fucking
You can't
machine.
Put a price.
You can. Okay. Now moving on to Dear Toasters, which is our advice segment where we do every Wednesday. We take advice. And if you want to ever... No, we give advice. And if you ever have a query?
Query quandary.
Pickle that you're in. Email us, deartoasters@gmail.com. And we will do our best to read your advice on air completely anonymously. And the Dear Toasters segment is brought to you by Sweaty Betty. New year, new chance to kick butt. 2021 is the perfect time to take your fitness to the next level with a pair of London's most popular Sweaty Betty power leggings. Make any move you want knowing your leggings have got your backside. Being more active is one of the most common New Year's Eve resolutions, but a third of workouts get skipped. One of the main reasons why is because of bad workout clothing. So excuse-proof your workouts with Sweaty Betty's power leggings. I love leggings. I'm a firm believer that leggings our pants, and anyone who tells you any differently is just super toxic. So I'm always looking for the best legging. I really am. And Sweaty Betty, I've heard of forever. And I just got a pair like 2 weeks ago, and they're fabulous. Like, they're firm, they're tight. They don't, I hate the drop crotch. Like, yeah. That is.
No, they're so good. I actually wore my Sweaty Betty leggings yesterday to work out at home. And now that I'm thinking about it, like, first of all, they felt amazing, but I wound up doing more. I did 3 workouts because I just didn't want to get off.
Right.
And I think there's a direct correlation.
And they have pockets, which, like, is a direct, because you know, you need a little granola bar, stick it in the pocket. You need your AirPods
case, 100%. Yeah. But like, I loved the way the leggings felt yesterday, and I didn't want to get off the bike. And I think there's a correlation, just saying.
No other athletic brand can compete with the Sweaty Betty power leggings. Expertly placed seams and squat tested compression fabric that sculpt your bum into its instant peach emoji status. So they're quick drying, and they have the pockets in the back and the side. Their power leggings are high waisted, squat proof performers with expertly placed seams that make you look and feel at the top of your game anytime you want to sweat. Their opaque fabric, adjustable drawstring waist, and pockets make your workout look as good as it feels, because you deserve to look amazing before, during, and after your workout. Go to sweatybetty.com/toast and use our code toast at checkout to get 20% off your purchase. This is the best offer Sweaty Betty has available anywhere, and it's spelled sweatybetty.com/toast, and then you have to use our code at checkout, sweatybetty.com/toast, promo code toast.
Love it. Okay.
Okay, Dear Toasters, ready?
Mm-hmm.
Hi, Claudia and Jackie.
Hi.
Hi. Claude, congrats on being a New York Times bestseller. Your book was everything of the sort. Thank you. My boyfriend is a PJOM, and we moved in together 7 months ago in his hometown, where all of his close friends and family still live. This is a huge deal for me because I moved far away from my sisters, friends, and parents to be with him. I have a couple friends in the area, but due to COVID, I haven't been able to make any more. I still struggle living away from my friends and family, but I love living with him. There is one issue I need my 2 disgraced queens to help me with. My boyfriend has a friend. Let's call her Gabby. They've been friends since middle school and have a weirdly close relationship. She is single and they are constantly texting, and she is always at my apartment. I've gone snooping before and haven't found anything incriminating, but it still weirds me out. Her family owns a restaurant, and every time we go out to eat, we go there so we can see Gabby. They are both part of this larger friend group that is always hanging out while I am left at home watching reruns of Real Housewives of New Jersey, and I just eat my weight in salt and vinegar chips. I've been wondering, why am I not invited to these hangouts? His other friends bring their significant others, and he never invites me. The one time I did hang out with his friends, it was really fun, but I've never been invited back. I'm starting to think that he is not inviting me because Gabby is there and he doesn't want us in the same room. Am I being crazy, or do you think that something weird is going on with Gabby and my boyfriend? I truly love my boyfriend so much, and I see myself marrying him, but my mind is going to the worst places. Sincerely, a sad toaster. There's a lot to unpack here. The first is obviously, like, should or can your fiance, who's a male, have a friend that's a girl? We can talk about that. But I think the second thing, like, your boyfriend, like, constantly hanging out with his group of friends, girls and boys, and not inviting you is really fucked up, seeing as how, like, you gave up so much to move away. All your friends and family are back at home. You have very few friends in this town, especially because of COVID. And he has, like, a full-blown group of friends, infrastructure,
that
and you
right.
can't come.
That ain't right. Like, first of all, because you moved your whole life for him and, like, gave him everything that he wanted, like, you pretty much should get everything that you want, like, from now until eternity. So if you want to be hanging out with the friends, like, just say, I moved here for you, like, I'm going. Mm-hmm. You know, you have so, you need to, like, wield that a little more.
Yeah.
And it's a little bit shady that he wouldn't include you to begin with. Like, maybe he thinks you don't want to be there, because honestly, watching Real Housewives of New Jersey and eating salt and vinegar chips, sounds like, great. Sounds like a really good time. But no, like, just stand up for yourself. Mm-hmm. That's not right. And as far as Gabby goes, like, once you're in these situations, you can get a pulse on her. And if you think that it's not good, tell him, I moved here for you. You're not allowed to be friends with Gabby anymore.
Yeah. It sounds like you're forgetting, like, you're in charge. Gabby doesn't you're run this town. You do.
100%.
But then the conversation about him having, like, a close friend like Gabby. So, of course, like, I'm such a jealous person. Like, when I think about it, I'm like, okay, no. And if that were Ben, like, I would kill someone. But honestly, like, Abe, like, is one of my best friends. I hang out with him all the time. I FaceTime him, like, for hours at a time. And, like, Ben doesn't feel weird about it.
And, like, there's literally nothing to feel weird about. So sometimes it is just a friend.
But I do think it's not to be, like, so, you know, 1950s. Like, I think it's fine for a girl to have a guy friend, but I don't think it's fine for a guy to have a girlfriend.
I think there's just context is everything, per usual. Like, one, what's her situation like? Is she in a relationship? Two, yeah, you know.
And you know what makes it weird? The fact that Gabby has, like, no relationship with the fiance. Like, Abe and Ben have hung out multiple times before. Yeah. Like, he's more of, like, a couple friends.
If you have to keep it separate, you're doing something wrong. If everyone's together as friends, it's a beautiful thing. But I think, like, let's hear more about Gabby before we judge her.
Yeah, it sounds like you don't really know her.
Yeah. No, but I
think you obviously just hate her.
Even for us, too. Like, is she in a relationship? Like, what is her deal?
Right. Like, does she have a history of, like, you know, being a skank? Like, what? Like, no, is she have a history of being a man stealer? Like, what's the... Yeah. I mean, skank. That's, like, a derogatory word. I apologize. But, like, has she, you know, hooked up with other people's fiancés or live-in boyfriends, you know?
Live-in boyfriends.
Next up.
That's, like, so nice you moved, like, into this small town for your boyfriend.
Honestly, sounds epic. I wish Ben was from a small town. No, 100%.
Maybe we should move there and then we could, like, all form a group.
Yes, we'll start a cool group.
Yeah, Gabby.
Yeah, Gabby. We're not going to your restaurant. We're going to the competing restaurant. That's so mean. Okay. Hi, Claudia and Jackie. I must start off by saying I listen to the podcast daily and I love you guys. I need some advice and I'd be RDH if I didn't come here. I am seriously RDH. I'm a dental hygienist.
Oh my gosh.
She's a registered dental hygienist.
She better have got that sweatshirt.
I had a patient a few weeks ago and I saw him both and his... I had a patient a few weeks ago. I saw both him and his son. My patient is about 55 and his son is 14. The dad was a little creepy and complimented my hands more than once, but whatever. I was talking to the both of them about skiing and how I recently picked it up over the quarantine. I was walking the dad out to leave and he offered me a pair of skis that are too big for his son. I took it with a grain of salt and kind of ignored it. I was working the other day and the dad brought in his son to have some work done and he brought me the skis. I was so awkward and uncomfortable. He just left them in my office. I took them home, but I feel a little unprofessional and totally weird if this is this guy's way of flirting with me. What do I do? Do I call him and say they don't fit, I can't accept them, or do I just keep them? I mean, it's free skis and they fit. Is this wrong of me?
They
please
fit.
Help.
That's
an
really
awkward
hard.
RDH toaster. I mean, girl, keep the skis. Like, life is expensive. If you get a free pair of skis, don't question it.
Yeah, and honestly, like, sending them back, like, also makes it awkward. It's
and
awkward.
And you have to coordinate, like, the pickup.
It's
like,
awkward regardless, because he seems like just an awkward guy. I mean, obviously, monitor the situation. If anything feels, like, truly creepy, report it. But
right now, it seems like he's maybe just, like, a nice guy.
Like, with a free pair of skis. Like, yeah. I don't know, some people are just really generous like that.
Yes.
Like, I have this thing that I don't need, and you need it. Like, here you go. That just makes complete sense.
No, and, like, I guess you could say, like, I'm generous, but, like, you have to come to my house and pick it up. I'm not driving out of my way to drop it off for you. Like, it's your gift.
Yeah. But I guess he really just, some people are do-gooders. I don't know, I was doing the Wicked ride on Peloton yesterday, and that song came on, No Good Deed Goes Unpunished, and I'm like...
This, so true.
That's how this man will feel if you return the skis. So,
yeah,
like,
you don't want to make him feel bad.
Let him do the good deed until he gives you a reason to think that there was, like, another reason behind it. I just, want to see the good in people.
And it sounds like you don't, like, feel uncomfortable by his presence. It's just, like, it's really not a normal thing to do, like,
socially.
Yeah, it's
just, like, super fucking extra, but...
I mean, he likes you. Like,
you have a pair of skis. Where are we going?
Yeah, where are we going? I'll meet you in
Let's
Aspen.
Let's shred the fucking gnar, y'all.
Okay, ready? Dear Jack, Claude, and Theodora, love you guys so much. Thank you for everything you do and bringing a smile to a millennial's face.
Oh my God, you're so welcome.
I have physical proof that my boss's husband is sleeping with our coworker and is now borderline stalking her. Okay, so the boss's, oh my God, excuse
the
me.
Boss.
Boss. The cake boss's husband. So the boss, I guess, okay, the boss's husband is sleeping with a coworker and okay. now is stalking her. Okay.
And now he's stalking her.
Grab we it. All work in the same office. My boss is Allie, the coworker is Chelsea, and the husband is James.
Hold on. Boss yeah. is Allie, coworker's Chelsea. Husband is James. Got it.
I'm like reading this, but I can't comprehend it. Do you ever have that happen?
Yes.
I'm like, these are just letters. Like, okay, boss is Allie. So the coworker and the husband.
Chelsea and James.
Oh, wow, very good. I'm like, I'm not able to digest this. No, I can read it. James and Chelsea used to be super, super flirty, and it was really uncomfortable. I would look over at Allie, and it seemed like she was ignoring it. James and Chelsea would disappear for over an hour at a time, and when Chelsea would come back, she would have an elaborate story about traffic, spilling coffee on herself, and so on. Fast forward a couple months, and she admits to someone that she was sleeping with him in his car. He would also give her money for manicures, highlights, and whatever she wanted. Now she says she's over him, but still accepts money and gifts, and get this. He sends her gifts to the office, and Chelsea leaves them on her desk for Allie to see. Would you somehow want Allie to know? There is a rumor that James, that this isn't the first time James has been screwing around. Allie is a precious gem of a woman and does not deserve any of this. Signed, Monkey in the Middle of a Scandal. Sounds like you gotta stop butting in people's business. Like,
I know, but it also sounds like you should write her a letter.
Anonymous.
Dear Allie, Sam, the other night
at
James's car,
HR,
Chelsea,
James put his head between Chelsea's breasts.
Boobs. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, my inclination is always just to, like, butt the fuck out of people's business, especially at work. Like, work yes. isn't your life. You know, you go to work to live. You got to make your money. Like, it's not everything. So just, like, I don't know, keep your head down. That's my advice. Seems like you're, like, really invested in it emotionally. And, like, I'm not that type of person. I'm like, my coworkers, like, you can all go fuck yourselves. Like, I'm getting out of
That's
here.
That's literally just me.
No, you
and
know,
that hurts.
I mean, like, if I was in a typical setting with people I wasn't related to. Okay. Like, I'm just not the type of person, like, in a corporate setting, like, to care that much.
Yeah, yeah.
I own my own company, so, like, now, like, yes, I'm very passionate about everyone here. But, like, if I was just, like, a cog in a machine.
Yeah.
I would do my cog work, make my money so I can go get drinks. Like,
yeah.
Keep your head down. That's my advice.
Yeah, I would try to. I think it's really hard. And I no good deed goes unpunished. So if you tell Allie, like, you, then you're a part of this, like, everyone shoots the messenger.
And then you're the office snitch.
Ugh. Hate to see it.
And that's a label that's very, very hard to get rid of.
Yeah, I would try and stay out of it.
Yeah. Also, like,
sorry, that's, like, boring advice.
Yeah.
But you it's think most you, prudent.
There also could be more that you don't know. Like, so just leave it alone.
Yeah.
Maybe they're a throuble. Like,
yeah, don't involve yourself. Like, you know what? Everything
works itself out in the end. It really does.
Yeah. The cream always rises.
And that's our show.
That is our show. That nobody is else's
our show.
Nobody else's show.
None whatsoever.
No, we have to recap Real Housewives of Dallas.
Oh, yeah. So and the actually, Britney documentary.
That's actually not our show.
Okay. So Real Housewives of Dallas, super quick, was such a boring episode. And it was kind of like the worst edit for Tiffany Moon of all time.
Yes. I think it was a boring episode, but it was very illustrative of people's personalities.
Yes.
And I think that Tiffany Moon has had, like, a really great season so far. And now it's, like, everything about everything that she did in last night's episode and hosting people in her house, like, was totally crazy.
She is a control freak, mm-hmm. and she's not a good host. Like,
no, and she's also a control freak, which is, by the way, like, sometimes can be endearing and, like, you cut, like, you know, if you're self-aware about it and it's funny, but she was just, like, going about everything in the wrong way, and it really reached a pinnacle when she was the reason why Brandy needed to throw up and then also made Brandy put on booties in order to go into the house to throw up. Like,
yeah,
that was crazy.
Right, because it's not, being a control freak isn't a bad thing, but it's the way that she controls that's so derogatory, I think. Like, and that's what Cameron was saying, like, when she corrected her grammar. Like, it's okay to correct someone's grammar, but, like, she has this way of, like, talking to other people like they're kids. Like, you will put your booties on, you will go to the bathroom, you will take your booties off, you will come outside. Like, it was just very condescending.
Yeah,
and so, and I think that's what rubbed people the wrong way. More so, even the way she sent the text message. Okay, you need to have people out of your house by 11. You, as the host, you can make that happen. You don't have to send a text message, like, to make people feel unwelcome in your home at 10:31.
Yeah. It was all kind of done in the wrong way. And also, it takes the fun out of everything. Like, nobody wants to feel like you're an imposition in someone else's house. It's like, why am I here? If I can't even walk into the house without shoes, or I can't go to the bathroom, like, why did I come here?
And honestly, she should have just had everyone take their shoes off and, like, give out flip-flops or something.
Yeah.
Because I respect, and I know that it's a really big thing in Asian culture, and it makes a lot of sense. Like, bringing your dirty Subway shoes.
It makes complete sense. And to have them wear the booties, like, through the house when they go to the outside, sure. I just thought that in the moment where Brandy was throwing up, like, it was extreme.
Agreed. Like, at some point, the booties, we can forget about
Especially them. Because Tiffany felt so terribly that she was the reason why Brandy needed to throw up.
Yeah. And the prank thing,
I think it's... I like the idea of pranking, especially because it's huge in this group of girls, especially with Brandy, obviously. But it is, it's a difficult thing when you're pranking somebody with something food. To eat. Like, say...
You were allergic.
Say you're allergic. Say you're kosher. Like, like if someone put crickets in my food, like... That's not okay.
Yeah, and so I thought, like, a lot of the people had different reactions. Like, I thought DeAndra, like, handled it, like, the best. I think mostly she feels protective over Tiffany because she brought her into the group. So she was like, oh, it's not a big deal. And then Carrie Brittingham...
But also, DeAndra, we know, is the most adventurous eater.
Yes. Carrie Brittingham, like, was just so annoying. She's like, I knew it. Like, no, you didn't, first of all. You literally had no idea. She got you 100%. And then she was just like, she was fine with it. Like, she was just being... She was just mad because she doesn't like Tiffany. Like, she was just making things up and, like, trying to make her feel bad. Brandy, on the other hand, like that was really unfortunate, you know? And like, that's why you don't do a prank like that.
Right.
So I just felt bad for her because, like, she, like, tried to get in with, like, the pranksters, and, like, that's not a good place to start.
No, there's nothing sadder than, like, a prank gone awry like that. And she ended it, like, feeling so bad. Like, Brandy felt so bad. It was just not well. It was not good.
Yeah. I'm, like, so excited for Cameron Westcott's new home. Like, I just need her old house to sell, and I need to see the inside of the house.
I know. I love Cameron's home scene so much. Like, first of all, Bruno loves watching Fancy. Like,
Theo was
Fancy on the treadmill?
Yeah.
What's Fancy doing?
Right. Like, accountability coach?
Fancy's in the car. Like, loves Fancy. And I feel like I actually learn a lot about dog training, like, from her scenes with the dog trainer. So it's like, typically, I would probably be uninterested in, like, someone's dog. Like, that's your storyline. But she makes it so funny and interesting. And I just, like, love her family.
Me too. And another person whose, like, family scenes or personal scenes I really like is Stephanie Holman and the Holman Foundation. Like, just learning the intricacies of, like, standard lockers cost $275,000. Like, that's crazy. And I actually think it's such a nice... I'm like, when they were like, we're going to give away lockers, I'm like, who needs a locker in their house? But, like, she's doing it for schools and colleges that are struggling. And it's actually such a nice
way to give
concept.
Back. Yeah.
And I can't wait to see what the Holman Foundation accomplishes.
Yeah. No, it's really cute. And it's cute watching her and Travis work together. And I love that they do confessionals together because they're always so funny.
Your back is hairy. Peach fuzz. He's like, you're fuzzy. I'm hairy.
No, they're really, really cute. Yeah. I agree. But it was a crazy... dinner party, or
it was just did not look fun.
No, it did not look
so
fun
many
at all.
Rules,
and it's such a fun concept. And Tiffany's house is so amazing.
Oh, it's
like,
so nice.
And I feel like it could have been such a fun night, and it was just one of those, like, disaster evenings.
And I found it weird because I think the whole point of the party, and Tiffany had said, was she really wants to get to know the girls, and she wants them to get to know her, and she was just, like, forcing it so much that, like, every time she shared an anecdote, it felt so awkward. Like, when she said, like, I used to pronounce jalapenos jalapenos, like, that is a funny thing, but, like, she was just, like, forcing the conversation on everyone, and, like, everyone was like, no one was talking about that before. So the whole thing, I felt like she was just really uncomfortable the whole time
because
she cares.
And also, like, when you are a control freak, like, having people in your house, like, I feel like I can be that way too, where it's like, I'm more stressed hosting people than I am, like, even I feel like when they went and had dim sum, like, she was so much more relaxed.
Yeah,
and
in your home, it's very personal.
Yeah, and you have a lot. There's, like, so many things happening. And so I think she was really overwhelmed. And her intention for the night turned out to be the complete opposite.
Yeah. Well, we'll see what happens next week.
At least it was interesting. And that pizza oven just looks so good.
Yeah. Oh, and if you're living for Real Housewives of Dallas, we have a very special moment on the toast tomorrow. I don't want to spoil anything, but just make sure you check back in with us tomorrow.
Yes, if you're living for Real Housewives of Dallas, like, I'm really...
We're recording this segment right after this. We're about to do some investigative fucking journalism. Diane Sawyer, like,
yeah,
Nancy Grace, hello.
We're about to get some answers for you guys.
Yes, just call me Nancy Grace. Nancy Disgrace Queen.
Nancy Disgrace.
Now I want to talk about the Britney Spears documentary, which is a part of a New York Times series they're doing on FX. And one of the episodes is about Britney. And
oh, there's only one? What's the series?
It's like a documentary. It's different things each episode.
What are some of the other episodes?
I didn't look.
Oh, okay. That's so interesting. I didn't know that that's what it was. I haven't watched yet.
The most recent one is Framing Britney Spears. And I don't really...
So it's just one short...
It's an hour and 10 minutes.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I thought it was digestible. A whole like eight part.
No, I hate that shit.
Okay. Maybe I'll watch it tonight because I know people really want us to talk about it, but you're about to talk about it.
To be honest, I don't really feel like I learned anything new because, you know, we did a deep dive on Free Britney a few months ago. So, like, I'm pretty well-versed. I grew up listening to Britney. Like, I remembered a lot of what they were talking about. The conservatorship stuff is really, really interesting. And I actually really liked how the documentary, like, found the people who, like, there's a podcast called, like, Britney's World or something. Like, these two girls who are obsessed with Britney, dissecting it. They came up with the Free Britney movement. These podcasters were on the New York Times documentary, which I thought was really cool. And they had legal experts and stuff. Obviously, for me, while I didn't learn anything new from the documentary, the biggest takeaway was just, like, one, like, how, even though the media is the worst, like, we've made a lot of progress since, like, Britney's time. Like, just some of the clips they were showing, her being interviewed by Diane Sawyer, her being interviewed by Matt Lauer, jokes that were being made about her in Late Night, David Letterman, who, like, every time I hear something, like, about David Letterman recently, it makes me hate him even more. Mm-hmm. Jay Leno. Just the way we spoke about, like, a 17-year-old girl. I'm like, it was just so abhorrently disgusting. And something like that would never happen again. But really, the documentary opened my eyes to, like, how many people owe Britney Spears an apology. And, like, I would really like to start first with, well, Matt Lauer owes a lot of people. But, like, him, honestly, and I hate to even point out, like, the woman, but, like, Diane Sawyer was so grossly disappointing. Like, the clips they were showing, it's just chilling. You can't really believe that, like, someone said this to Britney. Like, she's a 17-year-old girl crying on this interview. And Diane Sawyer's like, what did you do to Justin Timberlake to, like, make him so upset?
Oh, I heard Justin Timberlake comes out looking.
He's on the list of people who owe Britney apology. He, like, when they broke up, like, he used it to his advantage. Like, literally villainized her so much, insinuated in so many overt ways, like, she cheated on him, broke his heart. They were like America's sweetheart. Mm-hmm. America was very susceptible back in the day to, like, listening to whatever the tabloid said.
Yes.
So the tabloid narrative was like American royalty. Like, we don't have royals, but, like, Britney and Justin together, like, that is American royalty. And she, it was never really said, like, why they broke up, but Justin made a music video, Cry Me a River, like, all about Britney cheating on him. And, like, that was kind of the accepted narrative. And Justin and his camp really drove that home. And
I just want to say,
and that was the start of Britney's, like, it really was the start of her decline.
Wow.
Mental health wise, career wise, and the conservatorship is so crazy.
Okay. I will watch it now that I know that it's not, like, this whole long thing. Just want to say I never liked that song, Cry Me a River.
Yeah, no, and we have been really preaching on here, like, so viciously about how Justin Timberlake is disgraceful. And, like, now there's New York Times said it, so, like, it's true.
No, I saw people were, like, tagging me and stuff about how, like, this is, like, that we were saying this first. And it's nice to
be recognized.
We get a lot of flack for, like, not being fans of his.
No, I literally despise him. And after the documentary, like, I hate him even more. Like, he knew exactly what he was doing.
Oh my God, I'm gonna hate him so much.
I know. And the documentary did just make me sad because, like, they have all this behind the scenes footage, and, like, she really was, and they had, like, you know, people who worked for her as assistants and agents. She really was, like, what you thought she was, like, Southern Belle, like, surrounded herself with her family, so funny, talented, nice to everyone, even at the height of her fame, and until it took a turn where, like, her mental health was and, like, in all the interviews where, like, people were talking about her, like, they never even said mental health. Like, it was so clear she was struggling with some sort of, like, you know, mental health issue, mental illness, and, like, no one would even acknowledge it, you know? Yeah. They just threw her in a conservatorship.
Yeah.
And the legality now, when they catch up to, like, 2019 and 2020, the legality of the conservatorship is so shady. And they had this woman who, at the beginning of, like, the trials with the conservatorship, was on Jamie Spears, the dad's legal team. And in the middle of the documentary, I guess she got rehired for Jamie Spears, the dad. And, like, they literally had to put up a blurb, like, she stopped filming because she rejoined the legal team.
Wow.
Yeah.
So what would be best for Britney now? So when people say free Britney, what do they want for her?
So Britney's legal team isn't opposing the conservatorship. They don't want her dad in charge of her money anymore. Like, they don't want him involved at all. Britney, and in the whole documentary, like, leading up to her, you know, becoming famous, world tour, he was never around. Like, her mom really took her to all these auditions. And then when she became famous, she kept her mom and her childhood friends around and her sister. But, like, the dad was not in the picture. Like, he struggled with his business. He filed for bankruptcy. I believe he went to rehab. And so, like, he was never really in Britney's life. So now when she's at her lowest and needs a conservator, like, why would it be the dad?
Yeah. So why is it him?
I don't know. And, like, they recently got him to not be the conservator of, like, her business, but he is still the conservator of her finances. And he gets paid as being the conservator 1.5% of all of Britney's earnings. And for a while, he was in charge of all of her business. So he would literally just make her work. And there were those years, like when she was doing the Vegas and she had a circus and all those fragrances. That was when she was on the conservatorship and she was like, quote unquote, like behaving. And like they would just literally put her out on tour, this project, campaign, commercial, making so much money because Jamie was making money from it. And like Britney couldn't say yes or no. Like he was legally allowed to make all of her decisions for her. So now Britney's case is, I'm sure Britney doesn't want to be in the conservatorship, but to get it expelled is like legally, one of the lawyers was like, I've never seen it. So her best chance is just to get her dad removed from it. And hopefully like her mom, or she asked for a bank, like a financial institution, to be like the executive, whatever, of her conservatorship.
Wow.
And Sam, her boyfriend, is just like, you know, has found his voice. And now that people are talking about it, I'm sure he's like known about this for a while. He's like posting on Instagram, talking to TMZ, like Jamie Spears is a dick. And what I did learn is that the mom's name is Lynn and the dad's name is Jamie. And then we have Jamie Lynn Spears. Mm-hmm. So that was interesting.
That is Jamie Lynn Spears in it?
She wasn't in it whatsoever. But what I also found interesting was they have a brother, like who knew? And he went on a podcast once and like kind of spilled major tea. And like I never heard of the podcast before, and I would probably have never known that he did a podcast, but he was not holding back.
Okay, I'm gonna watch it today, guys. It's actually easy. I have a really busy day, so maybe this weekend. Long weekend.
But yes, I liked it very much. Even though I didn't learn anything new, it did just make me angry, yeah, which I think is what a documentary is supposed to do.
Yeah, or make you feel something.
Yeah. So that is actually,
now that is our show. Yes.
Thank you guys so much for listening to The Morning Toast, the Millennium Morning Show, where we deliver the past five stories that you need to know every Monday through Friday on YouTube. So if you're watching us on YouTube, please feel free to subscribe and give this video a thumbs up. We're also available as a podcast anywhere podcasts can be found. So that's Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher, Public Radio, iHeartRadio, CastBox, all the places. So wherever you listen to podcasts, find us, The Morning Toast, and leave a five-star review about how beautiful, stunning, and smart we are. Hope you have an amazing day, and we'll see you tomorrow.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Goodbye. Bye.